You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. For most of human history, if you wanted music in your life, you had to make it yourself, or you had to go find where other humans were making music. And we still do that. We make music. We seek it out. But today, through the power of public radio, we also deliver that music to you. It's part of our mission to bring the best cultural offerings to every city and town and reservation community and lakeside cabin and gravel road in South Dakota. This summer, SDPB brings you a special series during In the Moment. It's called Summer with the Symphony. It is a series of listening experiences sprinkled throughout the summer months, usually on Fridays, sometimes we'll do Thursdays, and it is made up of the most recent performances from the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra recorded live in the Great Hall at the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. We're going to begin today with a most familiar offering. Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67, or put plainly, Beethoven's Fifth. First, we'll spend some time today with Delta David Geyer, music director for the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. He'll introduce us to what we're about to hear, and we'll talk a little bit about the orchestra and the musicians who lead it. Then, all four movements of the symphony. That part of the show will take about 33 minutes. Now, you might be tempted to simply play us in the background today, and that's okay. You're welcome to do that. We are glad you're here. But as Maestro Geyer points out, don't be surprised if listening to Beethoven pulls you in a little more than you expected. This is one of those pieces that redefined the human experience of music. Here's Delta David Geyer.
Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, maybe the most familiar piece of classical music. Those first four notes in particular, ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, everybody recognizes that, and of course has been used and overused in popular culture for decades. So it's in our imagination. Surprising to me how many people tell me that they've never heard it live. You know, that they've heard it in all these different recorded forms, whether it's in, you know, in a commercial or in a movie or just, you know, on the radio or having a recording at home, but never heard it live.
Or a cartoon.
A cartoon. Yeah,
they know the first five notes. They know it has gravitas, and then that's it.
Right.
Well, we're going to hear it live. Or, well, we're going to hear it. It was the audience heard it live.
That's right.
And we're going to listen to that experience. What resonates with the entire piece? Tell us what comes after those five notes.
Well, he takes those notes. And contained within those notes is the material of the other four movements, the next 35 minutes. And that's why it's a symphony, because it's knitted together by these thematic elements, by the harmony. And that's what gives us a sense of having come through a journey and coming to the end of a journey, being having had a very satisfying experience listening. It's a piece that goes from darkness to light. The first movement is in C minor. Those first four notes set us up, but the last movement begins in a blaze of C major. So it's a very dark beginning, very bright ending, and along the way we pick up steam that leads us into that triumphant finale. Yeah, and Beethoven, he broke new ground with this symphony in terms of the unifying all four movements. And composers after him were always trying to emulate that, to find ways of knitting this together, because a symphony is not simply four pieces of music that are thrown together or composed at the same time. They inform a great composer will inform each movement from the other movements so that it listens like an organic whole. Mm. So the listener doesn't need to be aware of that in order to enjoy it, but we intuit it nonetheless, that these pieces belong together and that we're listening to a whole piece of music.
So I want to stop there to just add this idea of, since this is our first summer with the symphony offering for 2024, and I've been interviewing you for years, and I still remember one of the things that you said in one of our first interviews, which was, this is not necessarily what the music that you want in the background while you chop onions in your kitchen. You might want to go ahead and sit down and listen to this. So prepare yourself for a listening experience that might surprise you. Mm-hmm. You might think, I'm going to have this on the background today, and you might find yourself in a different position. Why is this music that Beethoven composed and that we still return to again and again still have the power to bring us to a standstill, even if we don't know why?
It's that thing about great art. I mean, it's not simply entertainment. It's not something to divert your attention. It's something to engage your attention, to make you think, to make you feel, to wake you up. It's arresting to look at, you know, Michelangelo, or to listen to Beethoven, or to, you know, see a Shakespeare play done really, really well. I mean, it's something that affects us deeply because it speaks to our common humanity. It speaks to those larger questions of life. Actually, I often call classical music philosophy and sound, you know, because it does that. It causes us to engage with higher thoughts. Makes us better people as individuals and better communities as we experience these things corporately. It's why these institutions exist, you know, whether it's a symphony orchestra or a museum or a theater company or whatever, so that we can experience these things together, and our lives are all enriched together, and hopefully we come out of it treating each other better.
And we just sometimes we want to commodify our time in that way. And what you just said, I think, speaks so eloquently to, if you are just sitting here and doing nothing but listening to this piece and this orchestra offer it for you, you have not wasted your time.
No, absolutely
not. Even if there's no dollar figure attached to it or nothing you checked off your list, sometimes at the end of the day, it may change how we treat one another. It's hard to put a value on that.
Well, we try at the symphony to help people learn to listen. This is my wife's thing that she stands on. Like, we got to teach people to listen better. The way that we listen, you're right, we've commodified it all. Mm-hmm. Music is bought and sold. Before the 20th century, this was never the case. Until you could record it and package it and seal it, you couldn't sell music. You either had to make it yourself or you had to go experience somebody else making the music. That was the only way, you know. So it's hard to even imagine not being inundated with sound wherever you go. But this music, a lot of what we play was written before the commodification happened. And these composers have something to say, philosophically, sometimes theologically, this to take you to a higher place.
So, what are we listening for? Because we don't want to place on the listener what their experience should be.
Right.
We want to open a door for what your experience is. Having said that and established that for the Beethoven, what do you want someone to know to sort of listen for that might enrich them today if they've not ever listened to this entire piece?
Well, you could listen for that rhythmic motif, that ba-ba-ba-ba, because it appears in all four movements. It's in different guises. It's not exactly the same. But if you're paying close attention, you can hear how the melodic ideas that come in the second movement and then in the third movement and then in the fourth movement can relate back to that. That's something, if you want to give yourself something to, you know, a trail to follow, that's a good one.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit at the beginning of this series of listening moments, Summer at the Symphony, about the orchestra and some of the people who are in it. Mm. Tell us a little bit about the principals those musicians that are really leading this mm-hmm. effort in a concert.
Well, the South Coast Symphony is quite unique in that we have a full-time core of 9 musicians. Most orchestras in our cities our size and the budget size of our orchestra will not have any full-time musicians. They're all what we call per service, so they get paid for each rehearsal and each concert that they play. And the majority of people on stage at an orchestra concert are those people, and a lot of them come from Minneapolis and other places around to play with us. But these 9, the Dakota String Quartet and the Dakota Wind Quintet, are salaried for 8 months out of the year. They're on contract. And so they play principal in the orchestra, and whenever the orchestra's not playing, they're out in the community playing as a string quartet or a woodwind quintet. And they're doing educational concerts in schools. They're playing in community centers, Macross and Boys Ranch, Lifescape, Dakota Abilities, all that sort of thing. They're doing Lakota Music Project on Indian reservations. And then they're simply playing recitals as a string quartet, woodwind quintet. And these are extraordinary people. I feel very privileged to work with all of them. We have Jusuk Kim, our concertmaster, originally from Korea. Magda Modzelewska, our principal second violinist, originally from Poland. Robbie Earhart, our principal cellist from Colorado. And Yichun Lin, principal viola, originally from Taiwan. So that's the Dakota String Quartet. And they sit at the heads of their sections. So Dusuk will be sitting at the head of all the first violins. Mm-hmm. Robbie is sitting at the head of all the cellos, and all those cellos are following him very carefully. They're following me too, but the decisions that Robbie's making about bow style and that sort of thing, they're taking from him, and it's his responsibility. And then likewise with the wind quintet, they're the heads of their sections also in the orchestra. William Cedeno is our principal flute. He's originally from Venezuela. Grew up in that famous program called El Sistema. But came to go to school at the San Francisco Conservatory and then on to Rice University, and we poached him in the middle of his master's degree from Rice, and what an addition he's been. Jeffrey Paul, our principal oboist, he predates me. He's been here for over 20 years, originally from Los Angeles. And as many of our listeners know, Jeff is he wears many hats, literally. He's a collector of hats.
Yes, yes.
but he also plays a lot of different musical instruments. And usually somebody who does that, you'll say they're a jack of all trades, master of none. But in Jeff's case, he's a master of all. He's really, whether he's playing, the oboe or the piano or the penny whistle.
Yeah.
He's just mastered it all.
Jazz, composition, really innovative.
Yeah.
A Renaissance man that is, the classical definition of that.
Yeah.
And fun to watch what he brings and what South Dakota has brought for him.
Yes.
And what he brings for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Then, of course, we know our principal clarinetist, Christopher Hill, who is just retired from the orchestra, but the recordings you'll hear this summer are all Chris playing principal clarinet, and he retired after 37 years in the orchestra.
Wow!
Originally from New Jersey, so he's seen the evolution of this orchestra through many many years. And of course, a lot of our listeners will know him as the conductor of the Municipal Band for 24 years, I think. So he's such a stalwart member of the community. All these people teach, but Chris lost count of all the students that he's taught in the years that he's been here. And
the impact of that on the community is hard to measure.
That's right. That's right.
Anyone that we didn't mention yet?
John Tompkins, our principal bassoonist. Again, John predates me. He's been here quite a long time. Wonderful, wonderful bassoonist. And then Daniel Kitchens, our principal horn, is the other in our core. And you say, well, what's a horn player doing in a woodwind quintet? But the horn kind of, because of the color of the instrument, the horn players can play in both a woodwind quintet and a brass quintet. So, but Dan comes to us originally from Texas. But again, lots of experience all over the world playing. And these guys, it's such a joy to see them and hear them because they enjoy playing together. And, you go to a recital of the quartet or the quintet and it's palpable. You can see how much they love each other. They love making music together. And then when they head the sections in the orchestra, because of the chemistry that they have year round, like it coalesces the orchestra. Mm-hmm. I think of it as the engine on the front of the train.
Yeah.
We couldn't do the things that we've done here without those people at the head of the train.
Yeah. Let's kick off summer with the Symphony 2024, Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67 by Ludwig van Beethoven. The South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Maestro Delta David Geyer, recorded live October 7th, 2023 at the Washington Pavilion of Arts and Sciences in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra in concert under the direction of Maestro Delta David Geyer, recorded live October 7th, 2023 at the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. Next week, we bring you another installment of Summer with a Symphony. We will hear Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, inspired by the Arabian Nights and a web of stories that keep a heroine alive for one more sunrise. The program features Concertmaster Dusuk Kim on violin. And that is our show for today. We hope that it served you. If you can't tune in live to In the Moment, check out our podcast. You can find it wherever podcasts are found. Like, subscribe, and tell your friends. In the Moment is produced by Ari Youngeman and Ellen Kester. Our executive producer is Kara Hetland. Jordan Henderson is our videographer, and Colton Nicholson is our engineer. From all of us at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.